Hello, everybody. Welcome in. I'm James Adams. He's Keita Robinson. This is the Fantastics, My Fantasy Fix, DFS Golf Podcast. And Keita Robinson, I'm afraid to talk to you. I'm afraid to get too close to you, my man. I don't want to burn up into flames because you are on fire. We're obviously going to look at the Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines. But before we do that, like we do every week, we'll take a look back. This was the American Express, the three-course rotation. It was an okay week for me, Skeeter, a week where I'd be happy to just say, all right, rinse and repeat, but not you, my friend. No, no. It was a monumental week for you. Not the biggest one you've had in recent history, considering how on fire you are, but still a very good week, my man. Let's talk about the winning lineup that you had. One took down a couple of contests, and when I looked across, what was it, 659 points you had? Something like that.
Oh, let me pull it up. Yeah, 659 sounds right. Yeah, 659.5.
Didn't mean to short you that point five.
Oh no, that's all right. I think. If I'm getting really greedy, I needed a couple other small things to happen. I would have shipped some other tournaments, but no, just what I mean. It was a great week. I didn't put lineups in until Wednesday night, so I kind of got into some of the smaller contests, which I think in the end probably would have been a benefit because I got into the smaller drive the green, 20,000, 5,000 to first, and that's the one I ended up winning. I think you had sent me the picture of the big one, and I think I would have tied for fifth third. Or sixth, and I would have tied for third?
Yeah, third was the score that scored $5,000. Of course, you would have been splitting third, fourth,
okay,
which was 2,500. Yeah, because I usually set a couple like when we do the podcast, and then I'll wait a little bit. So I will see the difference between all those contests, which is I'm OCD about seeing like how much anything that is more than like doubling up. Well, what would that have scored in this contest? So I was looking for you.
Okay. Yeah, so yeah, in the end, I won six of the 9 contests I entered with this lineup. It was I had the winner Swafford, so that was big. Hoagie I had, you know, I thought for a while he was going to be my winner. Molinari on Sunday was the big boost. He started plus two. I'm like, oh great, this is just going well, and he kind of got back into it. But man, that bogey on 18, oh, because he dropped from T2 to T6. That was 18 points, and that might have been enough to really bump me up in the $3 birdie contest. Might have won the short game in the 50-cent mini max as well. But
that's funny because I was cheering against it, even though I had him in a lineup because I had Brian Harman I wanted a clean top six. So I'm like, all right, anybody at 20 or better, I want to see bogeys, people. So I was cheering for all bogeys because you and I hadn't really talked because we were watching football and stuff. I knew at the beginning of the day that you were in great shape, but I didn't really talk to you throughout the course of the final round. So I didn't know how good that would have been for you if he doesn't, but it wouldn't have mattered to me. So
I still had a top 10 on him. I didn't have a top 5, so it didn't cost me that. But yeah, it cost me as far as the lineups go, but no, again, this is small potatoes at this point. The Cantlay-Rahm combination, like, they weren't... Cantlay, I think, scored, especially Thursday, Friday. Rahm, same, just kind of got in a rut. He could buy a putt on Saturday. I mean, they were just burning edges, lipping out, and then Sunday he just kind of stalled. But I think they were the stable force. And then Davis Riley, who had a great first 3 days, had a rough Sunday, but I think he ended up like 6 over, but he had like a triple and like 3 doubles. Like he did bogey holes. It was like double or worse. And at that point, double or triple are the same. It's just minus one and the placement points were already gone. So, you know, it was a bad round, but it wasn't awful. It wasn't like he had like 6 bogeys and 1 birdie, which would have been worse. So, but no, just an unreal week. You know, Thursday, I was like, okay, this has some potential. Friday's like, oh, okay, this is worth paying attention to. Saturday's like, okay, here we go. And then I was dipping with the winnings, you know, throughout Sunday. But the one thing I was like, man, I have holes. I have the most holes left out of anybody here in the top 10. Like, and I'm not that far away. And then once Swafford kind of got going and Molinari kind of hit a hot streak and Hoagie kind of woke up after 10. That's when I was like, okay, this is happening. And boy, never won a full full 4-day contest in golf, and after the year I had last year where it was bad, I just, I knew something was off. Something I thought was bad luck. I thought, you know, I was missing cuts by one shot, or, you know, I'd have the right five, but boy, the sixth guy just wasn't there. Just wasn't working out, and, you know, I still don't exactly know what my process is, but very, very positive variance coming in my favor here, and boy, it's an exciting win, just both financially and just the pride of actually winning a 4-day golf tournament, because you know the wild swings that happened in this.
Undoubtable, I know that, Tournament of Champions is a bad example, but I had a lineup in first place winning like $1,000 on a Saturday. And of course I think that lineup cashed for like $5 or $10, because that swing's a little bit different than the no-cut event. But I've been there where I've been like, oh man, I'm at the top of the mountain, but the ride's not over. And I haven't quite been to the top of the mountain at the end of the ride. I've been close. Haven't been where you were standing, dude. So congrats. Great lineup. Great week for you. And I honestly, you took down the monster contest for Thrive back in like December, I think. So This is a great run for you, dude. Enjoy it. It's like my Bengals, which you knew wasn't going to take long to get into.
Oh, that was
just sit back, enjoy the ride, dog. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, I mean, I have to. I mean, it's crazy because for those of you who don't know, I'm not a mass multi-entry golf. Last week I threw in five lineups. I think I used like 14, 15 players. Even showdowns, I'm, you know, football, I'm basically single entry. So I don't invest a ton of money. Like, I would say most weeks it's under $100, and most weeks it's probably even under 80 or 70 or whatever it is. So it's not a ton, but to have some of these big scores I've had, and to think over this past 6 weeks, I've had two contests that paid over $17,000. It's, you know, it's unreal. Like, this isn't supposed to happen. It really isn't. Like, even if I think I have a half an idea what I'm doing, and I do, I'm not supposed to be winning this much. I'm not supposed to do it twice in 6 weeks. Like, that just, it's nuts. I don't know what else to say.
Skeeter, you know what the Bengals have been saying? I know this isn't about the Bengals, but they've been saying, why not us? Yeah. Why not us? And, you know, that's what I say when I throw in my dumb little entries here and there. And not that I've come anywhere close. I think I've hit a $500 contest, and I won that Survivor for close to $3,000.
And I'm
like, heck yeah. You know, it is kind of surreal, but at the same time, I'm like, nah, dude, I won this thing. And I'm telling you this. Start thinking it this way. The same way the Bengals have changed the thought process. It's no longer why not us, Skeeter. It is us. And, well, brother, when it comes to golf, it is you. When it comes to football, well, it's more you than me here lately, but it is us, dog.
I mean, yeah, okay, so I realize that we're talking different dollar amounts here, but you still have had some really nice wins. Like, who cares? At the end of the day, who cares about the dollar amounts? I mean, yes, that's nice, but there's still wins for both of us, so, I mean, that's what it should be. It's great. Like, I don't think I'm having any more success than you just because I've won a couple of contests that have more money. I really don't think that's the case. I think it just shows that you and I do put in the time, and we're giving ourselves chances to win, and when the time comes, it's happened for us more than maybe some others. So
I've got one live football guys entry in the playoff contest where I'm inside the money line right now. I'm in 230th place. So let's hope that we get another one to talk about in a little while. But before we even get to that, Skeeter, let's hope we get another one to talk about in the tournament that's coming up. I could sit here and do all day talking about Skeeter's absolute heater. I didn't even realize that rhymed while I was about to say it. And now I may be saying that for a long time. But the Skeeter heater that we're in the middle of, I could talk about it all day. I wouldn't mind talking about what we're going to do to keep that thing rolling, though, if you want to get into some Farmers Insurance.
Hold on. Before we get to the Farmers.
Okay.
We got to talk Bengals. I realize this is a golf podcast, but my gosh, you're a diehard Bengal fan. And what's your process right now? What are you thinking? Just like, oh my gosh, my team's in the AFC title game.
So I mentioned it to Dan on Sunday. I was like, you know, I'm used to, as a Bengals fan, getting to the first round of the playoffs and then seeing the disappointment and the letdown, and being one of those large group of teams that make it to the postseason was good, not good enough. And it took only 8 days from the separation of that feeling that I'm accustomed to with the Bengals to the feeling of, oh my God, they're in the Final Four, because they were the first team to advance to the Final Four. Yeah. And so it took just that 8 days where we were doing a program on a Sunday morning talking about the remaining two divisional round playoff teams. And I'm like, man, it's only an 8 day span, which certainly is not a long duration for a whole lot of things, for certainly some grand scale difference in the way you view yourself, your team, not really myself. I don't really get as emotionally invested as I used to. And God, did I used to get way too invested, but it's still, I still love them and I'm still invested. But that 8 day period has absolutely just changed a perspective that I'm not sure I know how to handle, but here's the deal. I'm just rolling with it. And if you want to know where my head's at right now, the Kansas City Chiefs, I was happy to see them win last night in a crazy football game, as we do this on a Monday night, the night after the divisional round playoffs wrap up. Dude, I can say this. The Bengals are way overdue to be in the AFC title game when you do strictly numbers. I'm not talking about percentages, weighted odds, or anything, just law of averages with everything being equal. They're way overdue there. They're way overdue to make another trip to the Super Bowl. The Kansas City Chiefs, well, they're way overdue to not be in the AFC title game. They made it there. They're not going to three straight Super Bowls is the logical assumption. Now, again, I'm talking about unweighted odds and just the rule of averages, the law of averages. So I'm sitting here with all these math things going through my head, and this is the Fantastics, my fantasy fix DFS golf podcast, where Fantastics, we talk about numbers. The numbers should say without the weighted numbers of talent, which, look, the Chiefs are a very talented team. I mean, the Bengals are just due. They're due to win this one. Like, I don't want to tell you that I expect them to win, because God knows I've not expected them to win in a long time. But, like, I kind of maybe sort of expect them to win. Sort of. Kind of. By the numbers, anyway. So, anyway, that's where my head's at. It's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome to be thinking about the Bengals in the present tense and not the future tense when it comes to January.
Well, yeah, my team's trying to figure out who to hire GM and coach and who knows what else. But yeah, no, I am genuinely excited for you and Dan. As soon as that field goal went across, I immediately texted both of you, like, just, and I just know your passion and all that. Like, it's so fun to watch this for you two and rooting for you guys, and, you know, just, I mean, I'm rooting for the Bengals all the way through. I actually like the Chiefs. I have nothing against them. I don't know why
people don't
like them, but it's just so hard not to root for the Bengals, and especially for me with you and Dan. Like, I'm all in for you too, and I mean, I just hope that it all goes well. Or even if they were to lose Sunday, if they play well and lose, I think you would both be like, oh, you know what? Okay, it sucks that they lost, but what a run this was.
Amen. Amen. I mean, as you most certainly are doing with this week's lineups, and, you know, I guess the way I like to sometimes feel like I am with some of the silly bets that I've cashed on the Bengals, we're playing with house money right now. The Bengals are. You're playing with house money when you set lineups. I mean, heck, I guess I'm playing with house money when I go cash my Brian Harmon ticket. And, you know, I have friends that'll tell me that was my money to begin with. But whatever, we're playing with house money. The Bengals are, and man, you got nothing to lose right now. And that's got to be a dangerous Joe Burrow. He's already dangerous, but with nothing to lose. I mean, hell, he had nothing to lose on Sunday or Saturday, continually getting beaten and sacked. And some of those sacks not on the line, they're on him taking them. But it worked. And Skeeter, you know what? The first thing I did was probably just stand there and blink my eyes like I was stuck in, you know, standing in traffic, clueless. But one of the first things I did afterwards, I had a nice sip of Elijah Craig. It's a Kentucky bourbon. That Max Homa, I doubt you saw this, Max Homa just signed an endorsement deal with. Buying some booze for the party, I was like, I had some Crown in my hand. I was like, no, you know what? I see that Elijah Craig over there. I'm going to grab that. And this is like super silly full circle, but some of my Bengals bets are based on a Max Homa ticket. When he won at Riviera not too long ago, almost a year ago, I think that's when I laid down my Bengals 100-1 to win the Super Bowl bet. So Max Homa gives me some like Bengals vibes that were full circle to a little shot of Elijah Craig afterwards. I don't know if that makes any sense to you, but that's what happened.
No, hey, I'm all for it. So, so wait, does this mean that you're going to play some Max Homa Bengals doubles this weekend?
I mean, I kind of like Max this week. A friend of mine sent me a lineup with him in it already, and I was like, yeah, I like that.
Are you, was he like 80 to 1? Like,
where is he at on the book? You know what? You'd think I know, because we're going to get into some Max Homa, because I do like him where he was priced, and quite frankly, this is one of the courses I think that beyond the fact that it's in California where we've seen him have success.
I have him at 70 to 1.
Yeah, he's only 60 to 1 where I'm at. So I could get a piece of that with the top six. We'll see when we get there. I'm interested in him, but yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to play some Bengals bet or not.
I think he's a better bet than DraftKings play, but we'll get
there. He may well be. Anything else from divisional round success from just mashing it at the American Express for you? What we got anything else in the rearview mirror before we look forward?
The only other thing I'm going to say is it's weird. Like, you know, I'm so into football. And I'm sitting here watching the games, you know, Saturday and even Sunday. And even Sunday, I'm focusing more on, I mean, I have golf on my main TV and football on my computer because of, you know, being in contention. It was so weird. Like, the best football weekend every year, the four divisional games, and here I am just kind of really focusing on golf just because that's kind of the way it played out. So, but, you know, I guess in the end I had a few thousand reasons why to focus on golf, but yeah, just it was a great week. I'm gonna get kicked in the teeth, I'm sure, Wednesday when I see round one. Like, my lineups are like barely doing any good, but that's just kind of, hey, that's to be expected.
You will sacrifice the lineups this week for the good of last week. Oh. I'll sacrifice my lineups this week for your wins last week.
I played every showdown. I played the main slate and two slate football. I won a grand total of $8 on football. You know what? I will gladly trade that for the golf win.
Easy. Easy, dude. Easy. I'm with you. Well, let's get into the Farmers Insurance Open. It's at Torrey Pines. And, Skeeter, we're going back to... I don't know what I was going to call it, the scene of the crime. There was no real crime. But where John Rahm just made some incredible down-the-stretch putts to kind of snatch that U.S. Open away from Louis Oosthuizen, amongst others, at Torrey Pines. Of course, we had the Farmers Insurance Open here at Torrey Pines as well last year. So two tournaments were here last year. This a little easier than the U.S. Open setup, different time of year, of course. But for those who are remembering that tournament, this will certainly trigger some memories. But what is it that we're looking here at the Farmers Insurance Open? We've got the North and South courses.
Yeah, so first of all, this is a Wednesday lock.
That's so right.
Because of the conference championship games on Sunday in the NFL, they decided to move this to a Wednesday through Saturday event. So that's going to be weird. Start on Wednesday, cut Thursday, and the final round Saturday. I will probably get to watch none of the final round. My Saturday is very busy, but if I pull off another thing like last week, I'll find a way to be paying attention.
That's correct.
They extended it for the U.S. Open. I want to say it's like over 7,700 yards, and they're not really reducing that a ton for this. So this is going to play long, and I already played long before. The North course is 7,200 yards. Each player gets to play the North and South one day, Wednesday or Thursday. They'll make a cut, and then Friday, Saturday, both rounds will be on the South course. So, surprisingly, the cut's been like minus one a lot the past few years. Like, we have not seen an even par or even over par cut, but I think it's probably because of the North course, which is 500 yards shorter. Both of them are par 72s. The South course is POA, the greens. The North is bedgrass, which is weird that they did that. Maybe I don't know if they're hedging as far as, you know, just course play or whatever. But as far as the stats go, tee to green, this is one like distance. Hitting fairways is tough because this rough will not be the rough that we've seen the first 3 weeks where, all right, you're in the rough. Oh, well, this will be some thick rough. I mean, it's that Kikuyu, which I'm sure will get mentioned plenty. Scrambling, yeah, because there's going to be ones that you're just going to hack out and try to get up and down from like 100 yards or so. So bogey avoidance is me. A lot of the shots do come from 200-plus yards. I mean, there's a lot of par fours that are 450-plus, even a couple 500. So even that range for par fours. And I'm looking at par five strokes gained and putting. I mean, I think most of your scores will be on these par fives, but even these par fives are not exactly the easiest either. So it's a great test of golf. What a field this is. I don't know how many of the top 10, but boy, there are some golfers in the nines that we're used to seeing in the tens, and you know, even some guys in the sevens that we're used to seeing in the nines and eights. So just it's a great tournament. It's one of those says it's like the January big tournaments. You know, February we'll have Riviera, March we have the Players, and then hey, it's major season.
It sounds like it's right around the corner. It feels like it's right around the corner. I guess it just seems weird because, well, the Bengals are still playing, but I'll try not to make this all about them for the rest of this podcast, Peter.
You have every right and ability to make it all about them, because if this was the Bears, I would be just as excited.
It was the fall swing last year when I was thinking about next year for the Bengals. That's just how different this is. But at any rate, let's get into the field unless you've got anything more to take a peek at.
I don't.
All right, let's do so, and we'll start at the top. It's 10K plus, and it starts with John Rahm at 11-2, Justin Thomas 10-9, Hideki Matsuyama 10-6, Dustin Johnson 10-3, Xander Schauffele 10-1, Daniel Berger 10K even. Skeeter, who's your favorite play up here in 10K?
I mean, my favorite play overall, I don't know. We'll see how pricey it is. Rahm. I mean, he's won here twice. He won the U.S. Open here. He got his first career win, I believe, here. Was it 2017?
It was a few years ago. 2017, I was just looking.
His first appearance, and all he's done since is 29th, 5th, 2nd, 7th. He loves Torrey Pines. We even saw him, you know, make an offhand comment last week about he wasn't real thrilled about the birdie fest at the American Express. Like, this is his type of course. 11-2, it's pricey. I think there's enough value, but I don't know. Like, I'm sure I'm going to have to play him somewhere. This does not seem like a spot you want to fade. Over the past 36 rounds, he's number one, scrambling bogey avoidance, 200 for proximity, all good. Second tee to green, second par force from 450 to 500, second par five strokes gain. He hits all the major metrics I want here. 11-2, it's a deep field, but boy, he's worth the top price.
He's my favorite play, too. I mean, he was my favorite play before I even saw pricing. And it was as much to do with, okay, one, he wasn't great last week for John Rahm's standards, and he was in your lineup, which was very good. So even not at his best, he could be a part of the best lineup. Number two, his great history here. Like, it was just easy, like, to throw him in there. If you want to use him in one and done, if you're not saving him for a major, you may as well use him here. And you know, maybe you want to save him for a major, but if you're not, this is as good a place to use him as any. And then the comment you're talking about, if it's the same one I saw where he's a patron got him on their like their cell phone video of him walking by after walking off a green, and he more or less was like mumbling to himself, this is ridiculous, stupid effing putting contest, I think is something that he said, basically saying the course was just a putting contest. And so I think he's irritated, right? And a guy who's motivated to be the player of the year. I just feel like Rahm's motivated right now. And so I'm with you. I don't think there's any reason to fade him, even at the top price.
No, and we, I mean, here's the thing with Rahm, too, in that comment. We know he can run a little hot at times.
The fiery Spaniard versus Patty Ice. That's the way they were billing it, right?
Yeah, in fact, I even think
it's... Which I like.
Did I miss a reference?
Well, just fire and ice. Patty Ice, fiery Spaniard, just the obvious juxtaposition of the two, hot and cold.
Yeah, no, I got that. Sorry if I didn't give you the proper credit for that.
That's okay. It's okay. It wasn't even my thing. Somebody else came up with it. I just kind of liked it when they put it on TV, like fire and ice. I was like, all right, dude, I'm on board here.
I mean, by the way, can we get him and Hatton in the same group in a tournament and just mic them both? Maybe even Phil just to egg him on. Like, how great would that be?
I wouldn't mind it. I mean, you know, I'm a big Hatton fan, and I enjoy golfer commentary, so you know I'm not going to get opposed to that.
Yeah, I think Hatton dropped an F-bomb. Like, this was a great... I think I sent this clip to you, the one who drops an F-bomb, and one of the announcers for the Euro Tour is like, oh, we apologize for the language, and then somebody else chimes in, We should just apologize at the start of the round.
When he tees it up, yeah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. yes, that was where he, like, it looked like he kind of hooked one, but then he blames it on the wind, too. The wind just picked up or whatever. Yeah, I saw that, of course. I'm in my down period, bro. You better believe if there's a silly video online, I've probably seen it.
Oh, God, he's great, and so is Rom. But, yeah, I just
agree.
It's going to be very hard to fade Rom here. Even though, that being said, I mean, it's deep enough field that there's always merits to not playing the top-priced player, just because it is so deep that even if he wins, if this is a top 10 having the 8s and 9s, and there's really no, you know, maybe one guy in the 7s and nobody in the 6s, that's kind of in that optimal lineup, like, he could win and still not be part of the winning lineup. So he's my favorite, but by no means do I think you have to go there.
If you go elsewhere in 10K, where would you go?
Oh, boy. Might be Daniel Berger. That's 10K.
Okay.
It's significant of a price drop. He's number one in the approach, fourth in tee to green. The lack of distance of what hurts me. But third in bogey points, he was seventh here at, you know, at the U.S. Open at this course back in June. So I think all that being said, I want to say, did he throw a little run together at the Tournament of Champions? Yeah. Yeah, his irons have just been on fire. His problem is the putter. But he actually gains on Poa, so Poa's his best putting surface. 10K, he feels maybe like he may be a little overpriced, but I don't hate him here. Like, the approach numbers are so good. Good showing at the U.S. Open. I don't expect this to play like the U.S. Open, but I think there will be similarities to that one. The only other thing, too, is his lack of tournament history. You know, 24th in 2015, 3 missed cuts, but he'll be in the range. He'll be worth considering. I don't know if I'll get to him, but he's definitely in consideration.
If I go outside of Rom, I'd probably go Hideki. He's played well here, and he's obviously playing very good in the very short history. I'm not inclined to play guys after a win, and this is his first tournament after the win at Sony, but he's playing really good. And Hideki, I think I said it 2 weeks ago when we were coming off the Sony, like, this feels like a year where Hideki could rip a couple wins off, including another major. So I'm kind of frightful of Hideki this year, and he's a player that I would use if I go outside of Rom, but I'm not so sure I have to, because you talk about the deep field and, you know, the 8s and 9s just being thicker than they normally are.
No, Hideki makes a lot of sense. I mean, we know that when Hideki plays well, he kind of doesn't spurts. Like, he's a very streaky golfer, so, and a course that he's played well at, certainly, I think, makes a lot of sense.
Anybody else up here? You want to give me a fade?
I mean, I don't know if I'll play him. Maybe, again, I'm probably going to, hey, 5 lineups worked for me last week. I'm probably going to go right back there. DJ at 10-3, I mean, that just seems a low price for his talent. You know, maybe 22-1 is the number I saw for him on DraftKings Sportsbook. Maybe he's just a bet, and, you know, if he wins that way, good. But my fade is Xander. I kind of thought I was going to like him, but he doesn't have the best history. He's from San Diego, but it's not a strong fade, just kind of everybody around him. Like, I think there's even some couple players, the 9s, I end up liking a little bit more than him. So I think Xander will be fine, but I don't know if I want to, I don't know if he, I think he wins. And at 10-1, I want to play somebody who I think will win. I think he'll probably be top 10, top 20-ish, but not, I don't think he ends up being the best golfer in the 10K tier this week.
Yeah. He finally got a little something done here last year after a long history of miscuts. And it's weird because, like, wasn't this his high school course or something? Like, he's been playing here forever. But whatever it is, it's generally not good, even though the last time out it was exceptional. It's generally not good here. So Xander's my fade, too.
Hometown pressure, maybe?
I guess, you know, sometimes, I guess, who knows? Who really knows, right? Who really knows? But whatever it is. Because, I mean, Xander's certainly come up big under some pressure when it comes to the Olympics or even the Ryder Cup. But, yeah, for whatever, certainly there was no home court pressure and on him in the Olympics. But I don't know what it is. But, yeah, it's not there. So Xander's my fade, too.
All right.
Let's take it to 9K.
Do it.
We'll start at the top. Bryson DeChambeau, 99. Sam Burns, 97. Brooks Koepka, 96. Scottie Scheffler's 95. Jordan Spieth, 94. Sungjae Im, 93. Will Zalatoris, 92. Tony Finau, 91. Mark Leishman, 9K even. Skeeter, where are you going first in the 9Ks?
So the past few winners, we've had, what, Reed, Rose, Leishman, Jason Day. Like, maybe Day's the exception to this, but at the time, these are really good golfers, but not part of that top tier. Right? I think I'm right. You know, kind of that second tier, not the mega superstars. This is what this whole 9K tier is, and the guy I just kind of have a little bit of a gut feeling about, who I think who plays tough courses pretty well and is in decent form. Like, he kind of hung around a little bit last week at the American Express with 11th, is Sungjae. Gained 3.5 strokes on approach, lost a little bit putting. I mean, it is a little bit of an issue putting, but overall, not a bad POA putter. As I said, plays a tough course as well. Rates out very well across all statistical models from short-term to long-term. When I look at my model, third tee to green, first in the par four from 450 to 500, fifth in approximately from 200+, has some good numbers too in par five and bogey avoidance. Not average distance, but I don't know if he can poke it out there. But 9,300, I don't know. I have a feeling on Sungjae, and stats kind of back it up a little bit too.
I don't mind Sungjae here. He burned me a little bit 2 weeks ago at Sony when I used him in the make the cut and the one and done. But of course, I saw him play well following that, and I'm not opposed to Sungjae. I think I'm going to go with Tony Finau as my favorite. Yeah. He's got a wonderful course history here, and look, he was 40th at the American Express. I'm going to call that knocking a little rust off. And yeah, he was 19th at Tournament of Champions too, which is like pretty mediocre, to be quite frank. I'm going to hope that he did get better as the weekend went on. He was a 72 to start the week and then 70, 67, 69. So technically did not get better as the week went on, but still was under par and finished strong. I think Tony Finau, I mean, look, we know how good he can be. Now, does he win this thing? All right, I get it. Did he break out of that funk? I don't know. But listen to this course history and tell me at 9,100, the second cheapest guy here, if this doesn't scream at you. Second, sixth, 13th, sixth, fourth, 18th, 24. I didn't skip any years. Those are consecutive years going back.
Yeah, no, he's on my list. I mean, this is good. I'm going to start nitpicking here at the top towards the end. But no, good course history. We know he loves to show up at these, you know, majors or these top field events. So I have no issue with that.
If you don't play Sungjae, where else are you going?
Oh, boy. What do we do with Sam Burns at 9,700? He's been playing so well. I think he played – I want to say he might have been, like, in a final couple of groups last year at this event.
When you were talking about a guy who's playing on fire but's not a megastar, I thought you were going to talk about Burns, not Sungjae. Well, that's where I thought you were going. And then I was going to go, oh, him and Joey Burrow, LSU guys are probably going to win together this weekend.
Well,
it was coming. It was coming, dog.
There you go. Play your LSU golfers with Bengals doubles.
I don't know what I'm doing with Sam. I've got him number three. So there's another golfer I'm going to throw at you in a second here. But I've got him at number three. The price is a little prohibitive. I mean, when that price sits right next to Bryson and Brooks, you just go with Sam Burns, Bryson, and Brooks yet. Are those two playing well enough for me to say I have to fade Burns at that price because those two are stars around him? I don't know if I know that answer.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, yeah, Burns was 18th last year. I think it was a bad Sunday. 77, I want to say it was. Or maybe I'm thinking somebody else. But it was a bad Sunday. But, boy, it's just the way he's been playing. I do wonder, though, like, would I rather play him or Berger? You know, I guess I think I prefer Berger still, but it's a fair argument. Who's your other guy? Because I have two other guys I've starred. Like, this is just a deep 9K tier.
Mark Leishman, won here before.
Yeah.
Starting to play good again. 9K, and he's one of my guys.
Yeah, he's another one I have starred. Good approach numbers. Didn't do much at Sony, but was good at the Tournament of Champions. Yeah, has played this tournament well. And again, another one who plays majors pretty – he's usually solid majors, so that fits here. The other guy go ahead.
I was going to say, I mean, don't we have some comp courses here too. Like, if this comps with Riviera, I mean, Riviera comps with Augusta. I know we haven't drawn these correlations too far, but, like, that's a course Leishman plays well and the uneven lies and stuff. Like, I don't know. It seems like a place that Leishman would – I mean, I know he's won here, but just seems like a place that he would play well.
I would think Memorial, potentially, just the difficulty. Did he win Memorial 1 year?
I don't think he's won the Memorial, but I don't know that.
Let me look this up real quick.
But Leishman's been playing good. I mean, honestly, it seems like...
No, he has not. He has two top fives, but nothing outstanding there.
So yeah, Leishman's my number two anyway, but Burns is my number three. And by the way, as I look at the very recent form of Brooks and Bryson, I would be inclined to play Burns.
I mean, Brooks is not going to jump out stat wise. I think he might be a better bet. Like he's 35-1, and boy, that just seems high for Brooks with his upside. Bryson, I know he was in contention all the way until the back nine at the U.S. Open. But man, that rough scares me here. Certainly could pull it off. I mean, nearly did in June, but I don't know. I just don't like that one. The other guy that I kind of like a little bit, I have a feeling everybody's already on him. In fact, his number dropped from earlier, is Zalatoris. You know, talking about a guy who's kind of randomly popped at some big events. Zalatoris certainly fits that mold. He did miss the cut at the U.S. Open that was here, but I believe he had a pretty good finish last year here. Yeah, seventh. He's coming off he had a nice weekend at the American Express. I thought he was going to ruin some of my lineups. And,
I was worried about him late.
Yeah. Especially when he's 50-1, I think, pre-tournament. I didn't bet him. I was like, oh, please don't let him ruin it for me, even if I have a student who likes Zalatoris. But yeah, he just, tough courses, he kind of pops. He's got that elite ability. I don't think he's got the talent around to make his first win here at Torrey. No, Rom's first wasn't at Torrey, was it?
I don't know. We were talking about that earlier, and I truthfully don't know that. It was 2017 that he won here, but I have not looked up Rom's.
His first appearance at Torrey he won, but I don't... No, it was his first win.
2017, I mean, that's 5 years ago. Rom's not an ancient player.
No, it was his first win, but... I don't know. I don't still know how many first-time winners. Like, Zalatoris might be very good, but I don't think he's projecting to a Rom-like figure. So, I don't know, but at 9,200, I mean, really good proximity for 200+, really good par 4 from 450 to 500, good tee to green player. He's another one who kind of hits all these metrics. I worry a little bit about his putting, whether he can hit fairways, but I have a feeling in the end I don't play him just due to me liking some other guys around here, and I think he's going to be the most popular play.
Who you fading up here?
Spieth.
Interesting. I'm fading Brooksy, given just hasn't shown it to me yet. And, I mean, I get what you're saying about playing him at the number, but his course history here, not great either. I mean, now, granted, this is like a big game field, but it's not quite the major. So I'm fading Brooks. Why Spieth?
It just doesn't have the distance and... His driver can get really wonky here. Like, I think he didn't make it to Saturday last year, and I felt like he was all over the place on Saturday and just didn't play well. Not good for 200+, and I just think I like everybody else around here. This just does not scream Spieth course.
Fair enough, and his history here is not good. So, I mean, he missed the cut at the Farmers last year, 55th, 35th, missed cut. He was 19th in 2014. That's when you got to go back to a positive outcome for him here at the Farmers. So I'm with you.
I hope he plays okay, but either barely misses the cut or ends up like T62, because I am ready to use him next week at Pebble if he plays.
Fair enough. Are we ready to take it to AKs?
Yep.
All right, we'll do it. It's Taylor Gooch at 89, Corey Connors 88, Pat Reed 87, Matthew Wolf 85, Max Homa 84, Christian Bezuidenhout 83, Mav McNeely's 82, Ryan Palmer's 81, and Skeeter, that's where it ends. Nobody's at 8K this week.
I don't have a favorite play here. I have three guys starred. One of them's Taylor Gooch, but I don't know if I end up playing him. Like, can I really play him over Finau and Leishman at the same price? Even Sungjae for a few hundred more, and especially if I like the top, I don't know if I can get to 8,900 Taylor Gooch. Good approach, good tee to green, good bogey avoidance. even a good proximity for 200 plus and par 4 from 450 to 500. All that makes sense. And I think he was actually okay here last year. Yeah, he was, third 2 years ago, or 2019, 36, 48. So he's played okay here. He ranks up well stat-wise. I just don't know if I want to go there.
I'm going all the way at the bottom for my favorite. It's Ryan Palmer.
Yeah, well, I kind of laid off for you on that one.
I'll tell you that I appreciate that. I mean, what's the first thing we know? We talk about course comps. There's a few player comps. Like when we like Bryce and we like Woof. When we like Rom, we like Ryan Palmer.
Yeah.
I like Rom. I mean, it worked last year, because go ahead and look at the course history for Ryan Palmer. It's good. Last year, I think this might have been my first golf cash of the season last year when I got a top whatever on Ryan Palmer, and he was it was a top six on him, and he was a pretty long odd player. Well, I think you've already got him locked in as a 70-1 with the top six bet locked on it too. At my book, he's second last year. He was second 4 years ago, 13th and 21st, sandwiched in between that. So four consecutive top 21s. And then Ryan Palmer hasn't done anything to tell you he hasn't been playing pretty good as of late. I mean, the recent course history, of course, is just the Sony Open. Or not course history, but rather playing history. He was 15 under T12 at Sony Open. So Ryan Palmer, in the short term, in good form. And by the way, wasn't bad at the end of the season either. I shouldn't say season, the fall. Where he was in November, he had a 26th and a 27th. Give me some Ryan Palmer at 81. He'll be in a ton of lineups for me.
Yeah, he's definitely in consideration. He, you know, if you're playing one in the 10s, one in the 9s, he makes a logical third. I wonder how much steam he's going to get because of that.
Probably a ton.
Good recent form. I don't know if it'll matter. It just might have to be something where you just have to be a little more cautious as far as how you build your lineups. You know, I'm not sure you want to play Rom Burns Palmer would probably be a very popular start potentially.
If you don't play Mr. Gooch and or Ryan Palmer, where else are you going?
The only other name that stuck out to me, and I don't know, I still don't know a ton about him, is Maverick McNealy. 15th 2 years ago, missed last year, 29th in 2018. So decent history. I know he had a good fall. A good tee to green, good proximity from 200 plus. Really, the only thing he struggled at is scrambling, which is a little bit of a concern here. But 27th at Sony, 19th at Houston, 11th at Mayakoba. He's been playing well, and I don't, you know, around the green again is a little bit of an issue, but everything else he does well. So if he can hit some greens, I think he's in. He's in decent shape at 8,200. He's the only other one I have started. I can't tell you I love him, but he caught my attention a little bit.
I really like Max Homa. I'm curious if we're wrong, if we're different on this one. At 8,400, when I look at the course comps that we've kind of just kind of put together on our own thoughts, Wells Fargo and Riviera, the two that we have marked as course comps here. Where's Max Homa won before?
I don't like his form. He has struggled a little bit recently, but Homa's one that I'm not sure form means a ton. He was 15 in the tournament champions. Just didn't do much on approach, but he has that big winning upside, and we know he'd win in California. So that's why I think for me he's a better bet than he is DraftKings play.
Okay,
but I certainly get the logic behind it. If you
back to back top 20s here, the last two times in the Farmers as well.
Okay.
So he's my number two. Who you fading out of this tier?
I kind of want to say Patrick Reed.
Okay, there's nothing else in the tier that you're after, I would assume, considering your lackadaisical approach at the other guys to start with.
Yeah, there's just, again, Reed just kind of, he rallied to make the cut on Saturday, and even made a little bit of a charge Sunday, a little bit up the leaderboard, and he lost it all, but you know, coming, you know, defending champion, just not still in the peak form that I want. I mean, the price is right, 8,700, and even the betting odds are decent. That's just not something I really want to go to.
Hey, look, first of all, I found that picture of Patrick Reed in a Chiefs jersey, so that's reason enough. Now, I think that was from like 2 years ago, because I only sent you that one picture, but Brooks and Poulter were in Niners jerseys, so that had to be from the Super Bowl a few years ago, the Chiefs-Niners Super Bowl. No, I'm with you. Reed not playing great at all, dude. I mean, because I got on him last week, and he didn't do anything for me. Glad he made the cut. You know, he gave me a couple dollars in one and done, I think 17K. So that got me completely off the schneid, but that's the only 17K I got. That's not moving me anywhere. So I'm with you, Reed. I got to fade my guy, Matt Wolf, though, dude. I bet him last week. I can't even bet him this week. I'll put him in one lineup because I love Matthew Wolf. Dude, he was bad last week. He tried to make a little bit of a rebound on Friday, with the 67, but then shot another 72 on round three. So, I mean, he only had one under par round to finish plus one overall. It was just bad for Matt Wolf all around. It was like that whole group he was in. I think he was in the group with Gary Woodland, and that was just a bad pairing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the one thing, though, that would benefit Wolf is you need driving distance on this course, so you know that he can pop it out there.
So I looked at this. He had one finish here. It was like 29th or something. And him and Bryson are very good comp. Bryson's got two missed cuts here looking at the Farmers, not the U.S. Open history. So Bryson hasn't done well here either, which was just another reason to kind of egg on the Matt Wolf. Look, I love Matthew Wolf. I don't know if you saw that interview with the kid from I think last name was Perico, maybe, from Latin American Tour that was on ESPN during the week, he had some mental health issues, reached out to Wolf. He said Wolf was awesome, made friends with him. Like, I love Matthew Wolf, dude. He's like probably the guy after Charlie Hoffman that goes into my favorite player mold, but can't play him this week.
Yeah, no, the distance is the only reason why I would even consider him, but yeah, fairways gain, not great. I think I'm with you. I want to see a little bit more.
I want to see a lot more, unfortunately. Are we ready to take it to 7K?
Yep.
Let's do it, Skeeter. We got a full host of decent names, as we pointed out, with this kind of firepower in this tournament. So I'll start with you, Skeeter. Of all the names in there, is there one that just stands out as a must play?
Yes. And, you know, if you've listened to this show enough or the podcast enough, you know I don't like playing this guy because I don't get him right. But good history, good form, 7,900. It's not Justin Rose, who I do like. It's Keegan Bradley. Second approach, 7th tee to green. Obviously, we know putting and scrambling could be a little bit of an issue on Keegan. In fact, even when you look at recent numbers, again, shocker. All the approach, that's good. The putting, not so much. But when I look at the Farmers, here's his past history putting it at the Farmers. Lost a stroke putting last year. Gained a tenth, or 2 years ago, sorry. But he lost a stroke 2 years ago. So negative one, even, plus 1.7, minus 2.2, plus 1.3, plus 2.6. For Keegan Bradley, these are great putting numbers. His approaches are still well. You know, 7,900, he does at least carry winning upside, which I kind of want. Good history, not by his standards, a good putter at this course. I'll take my chances on Keegan.
I've got a couple of guys that kind of stand out as my favorite. Since there's not like a set in stone, this is the absolute favorite. I mean, Charlie Hoffman is absolutely on my list. It is so good to have the Seagull back. I was worried that the transition from football season to golf would happen without the Bengals or Charlie Hoffman. Thank God that doesn't have to happen to me, Skeeter. I'm going to get both in the same weekend here in January. It's a beautiful thing. Charlie Hoffman finished 9th here 2 years ago. He finished 7th back in 2014. So he's had some ups and downs. He is a California guy. His Zurich Classic buddy, Nick Watney's won this tournament. That's got to mean something. I mean, at least Nick can tell him how the greens roll.
Just because Rahm and Palmer were Zurich Classic partners and have that correlation, that might be a little bit stretched there.
Okay. I didn't know how far you were going to let me go with it. I mean, look, we haven't seen Chuck in a while, man. He withdrew from Mayakoba with a bad back. So it's hit or miss. I like this price on Hoffman though, of course, right? Like when do I love Charlie Hoffman? When he's a cheaper play. Where was he? I already lost him. He's like 7,100, I think. So yeah, 7,100. So look, I'm going to call him my favorite play, but there's some other plays in here that I really do like. I don't know how heavy weighted I'll be on the Seagull, probably 30% at least.
Okay.
Just cause that's what I do with them.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's your brand.
Any other guys you want to stand out on, or I could throw a couple at you?
I'll throw one of your guys, Mac Hughes.
Yep, absolutely. He's one that I thought about making him my guy here.
And I think he was in contention during the final round of the U.S. Open. I think he struggled on Sunday, which not a shock. But last time we saw him, second the RSM, fourth at Zozo, which I know wasn't as strong of a field. But he's got some big tournament capabilities. I mean, sixth at the Open, 15th at the U.S. Open last year. So he kind of recent form, and he can show up time to time. So he's in play. Alonso, I think, has a nice little history here. He kind of got in the mix a little bit yesterday at the American Express.
Sure did.
Seventh at Zozo, sixth at Shriners. So, I mean, he's been, you know, approach number has been okay. He's been putting well. He's another name I think could be out there. Justin Rose loves this course, no matter what form he's in. So I'll consider him as well. I have a couple other names. If you have some lower tier guys, I have not found anybody yet. I like the low sevens, and I need to find some people.
I'm with you on Hughes. I'm with you on Griffin. You didn't mention Molinari.
Yeah, I mean, what did he? He had a good run here last year, didn't he?
He was decent. I'm not staring at it. There you go. That's pretty deep. I'd take that from where he's sitting.
Yeah, he's my guy. I gotta throw him in. Yeah.
We're not cheap yet, but Jason Day wasn't great this past weekend, but he made it to the weekend. He's got a phenomenal course history here. Like, Jason Day just seems to me at 7,500, like, yo, you got to go do that.
I can't do that. I get okay. It. History's really good. I just can't get there.
Does this get any cheaper for you? 7,400, Brant Snedeker. Playing good, and he plays good here, dude.
He does. No, like, driving distance is a major concern. Remember, one of those wins came when he was on the right side. He was out early on Sunday, and then all of a sudden, there were, like, hurricane winds that came up, and he shot, like, 69. The next lowest score was, like, 75. Like, it was just an insane combination.
But he's won here twice with two other top tens, though.
Yeah, he's just... He's not playing as well as I'd like to see for me to go there with that driving deficiency.
Okay. I'm fine with that. I don't know if I get a lot cheaper. Michael Thompson really kind of hosed me last week. He's either missed the cut or had like a top 20 here at 7,100, and he's due for the cut if you play that every other time narrative.
Another one, driving distance is a concern. Yeah. Yeah, because he didn't really show anything until Hawaii, and then he was what I was correct. Considering. He was one of the final ones I left off out of my player pool. I just could not get to him.
Okay, I don't know that I have. I mean, look, I gave you a Charlie Hoffman. I suppose I could go back to Aaron Rye at 7K, made the cut at the Amex, and then didn't have a very good Sunday. I could have interest in him. I don't know if your boy Sebastian Munoz would garner another look.
Oh, that was bad.
No under par rounds last week. That's tough. That's the only ones I could really get behind.
Okay, I have three other names, and they all have some major or four other names. One is Mito Pereira, he is rating really well statistically, but I think that's more long term than his recent form. His recent form has been an issue, so that's his issue there. 7,100 Cam Champ, he just does have a tendency to pop at random times, and driving distance courses tend to be one of those, so maybe he's a play. Gary Woodland has a good history here, but form I don't know about. And then
I do.
What about Woodland for you?
No, I know something about his form. We'll talk about it in just a second.
Oh, okay.
I love Gary, too. It's going to be the same story as the AK.
Yeah. And then Patrick Rogers, another decent history. I think he's a California guy, good distance, good tee to green. He's just hard to trust as well, week to week.
I've got no more. I'm sure I could find a guy like a Tom Hoagie. I mean, I could see myself just saying, okay, why not? He's only 7,500. Maybe that's too much for him.
I have Hoagie starred. I mean, he's so boom or bust. Let me go back to Patrick Rodgers.
Okay.
His past 6 years, he's only made two cuts, fourth and ninth.
That's fine with me.
Yeah, I mean, boom, bust. But boy, at this point, you know, it's almost a football mentality that I've had to kind of take in. I almost just have to embrace a little bit more variance. And, you know, we're playing for first place. I got there last week.
Yep.
This is, you know, sometimes I just have to think about, like, hey, if I'm playing a guy, he gives me a great chance at first. He also could take my lineup, and you know what? If that's the case, so be it. Whatever.
Bye-bye $5, right? Or whatever whatever the lineup is. I'm with you. I've gotten to that point. Trust me, I'll be going back to the Silver Fox again in a minute here.
Oh, okay.
I mean, at least I'll think about it for a lineup or two. Why not? All right, who are we fading in 7K?
That's a good question.
You can have Gary because I've got two fades.
I'll fade Snedeker.
Oh wow, that is a kick in the gut, dude.
Sorry, I
almost feel like I should just follow your suit here the way you're playing, but I'll probably still use him.
He just hasn't done much the past year, and I know he's won here twice, but this just with his current form just does not feel like a Snedeker event.
So even after a 14th at the American Express last week, you wouldn't go 100-1 on him?
No. I got some bigger bombs I'd rather
play. I currently have four guys that I'm looking to bet, and he was one of them too. Like and normally I'd be like, ah, screw that guy. But now I'm like, man, Skeeter's on the heater. I might need to listen to him.
Hey, I had plenty. I mean, I was on Munoz last week. He was bad, so let's not think that I am getting all these right now.
Fair enough. Well, I told you I'm fading Gary Woodland, and he's the that's because, dude, he just was not good again last week. He really hasn't been good for a while, quite frankly. But I'm also fading Ricky Fowler. I think
I'm sorry. Yes, that is the absolute fade.
Yeah, it's worth just mentioning that. Look, he just doesn't play good here. No. So, and he didn't really play good again last time we gave him a chance.
No, that you're correct. That's the fade, not Snedeker. It's Ricky.
Can I just ask you, because he's sitting right there next to the guys, Hudson Swafford, who ran away from the field, but he did a good job of extending his lead away from the field at the very end yesterday. He has a 13th here, mostly missed cuts. Would you even think about playing him?
I don't hate it. I mean,
7,200. Obviously, he's in very good form of recent.
Right. And, I mean, he hit the ball out there a little bit.
Yeah, he was one of the few guys that even reached. Am I wrong? I thought they said he was one of the few guys that reached the last par five was the 15th?
16th.
He was like one of the 16th? Okay, yeah, he was like one of the few people that reached it in too.
Yeah, because he had like under 10 feet for eagle. Like,
yeah. Now, a lot of people were just short. Like, Frankie was just short, but.
Right, but I think Frankie was in a rough too.
Correct. But I did watch a little golf. It wasn't all football this weekend.
Oh, well, no, I mean, I was watching both, but obviously I had a lot more interest in golf for obvious reasons. But, I don't hate it. I'm not going there myself, but hey, we know the winner of the previous week typically goes on their own, especially with bad course history, so.
There you go.
Don't hate that at all.
I am going to just jot him down. All right, well, now are we ready to take it to six guys?
Actually, I think I forgot to mention one guy that I don't mind. Aaron Wise has been playing really well.
Wise?
Yeah. Good approach, good par five. Seems to have something, he plays well in coastal courses apparently, so I guess this counts. I mean, it's on the Pacific.
It'd be a Wise play.
Ah, oh, there we go.
Oh boy, you can tell I need to get out more.
Well, you know,
Bengals week. Let's take it to the 6K, shall we?
Yep.
I don't know how much 6K I'm getting into, Skeeter, but I'm sure I'll get into it a little bit because I want to have a couple ROM lineups. I don't know if I'll be – I did a lot of ROM Cantlay last week. I don't know if I'll do a lot of ROM Hideki or ROM DJ this week. But if I do, I got to get in here. And, well, I'm going to start with you because you mashed these cheaper plays last week. Where are you going this week?
I did. Boy. I have 3 6K guys starred. Obviously, they all have warts. Which one do I want to – you know what? Martin Laird is popping stat-wise. Granted, 11th at Shriners, which is basically a home course event for him. But 11th at Shriners, 22nd Mayakoba, missed at Houston, which was his last three starts. I want to say he has a okay history here. He's got a 7th or 8th if you go back to 2015, 2016. Only three missed cuts in his career here out of, 11 starts. I mean, May cut will certainly do good here. Good fairway, good tee to green, actually good proximity from 200 plus, and par 4 from 450 to 500, 6,600. He hits those long distance categories better than I thought. Just a putter issue, and he's not a real far driver, but boy, if he's doing that well with his long irons and these longer holes, I don't hate him at 6,600.
I'm not going to tell you I have guys I love, but what about a Grayson Sig? I guess I'm going to make him my favorite play at 6,800. And that's just going to be on a real short-term recent form play. He made the cut 42nd at the Sony. He was 25th at the Amex. So give me a guy who's made a couple of cuts here recently. I mean, if he was 42nd, I'd be ecstatic at 6,800. No course history that I see.
No. Good approach numbers past 2 weeks. Below average distance, but not terrible. Not great for proximity of 200 plus or par fours, but good bogey avoidance, good scrambling. So that's not a terrible combination. If you're gonna be bad from 200 plus or bad at these par four long par fours, hey, if you can scramble and avoid bogeys, I mean, well, fine with me. He's not a great putter either.
What about Vincent Whaley at 6,800? 40th last week, 17th the week before at Sony, and was making cuts sometimes with good results. Back, you got to go all the way back to the Fortinet in September when he didn't make a cut. 6,800 Vincent Whaley?
Iron numbers have not been good. Good around the green numbers the past 2 weeks. Good distance, good putter. Everything else, though, just kind of a little in between. So not for me, but I can see the case.
I mean, 6,700 Sabatini. Burt runs hot, runs cold.
Yeah.
Another guy who didn't go under par. Maybe it's because he didn't feel like dealing with those stupid celebrities. I give him a chance.
I'm not sure there were celebrities in this one. Were
well,
there?
The pro-am. I guess celebrities is probably not the right word. You're right. The celebrities were playing the LPGA tournament this week.
Yeah. I like... Why doesn't... do that to the Tournament of Champions at Kapalua. Let's throw a celebrity division in. Good on the LPGA. I like that little twist.
You know what? Tournament of Champions would be one of the best times to do it because you'd have you have such a small field. It actually makes sense. And, I mean, what the heck? You get a trip to Hawaii as part of your donation to be in this thing.
Not that a trip to Orlando is exactly anything bad for the LPGA
correct.
Either. But, I like that. Boom, bust, Pat Kazire. He'll be above average of distance. I think he's been okay here in the past. 22nd American Express, 42nd Sony. So, maybe he's my local, quick, short-term narrative guy, and he can get streaky. So,
he had an 8th here back in 2016, did Patton Kizzire.
Okay.
What about Adam Svensson? I mean, I brought him up last week. I used him. He was not as good as he was at Sony, but he made the cut, and he's 6,900.
I'm actually trying to look somebody else up right now.
Gotcha.
Don't mind Svensson. Play him low Canadian.
No, because I like Mac Hughes the same as you.
Well, you can get better odds than Svensson.
That's a good point. Sometimes I like odds better than I like players. I think that's sometimes I get blinded by numbers and forget players.
Guy. Just kind of been okay long term. Has missed his last two cuts. I think he must have missed it on a number of the American Express or was a little bit wonky, but CT Pan's got a top 10 here before, and he's good tee to green. Everything else is kind of average, but 6,900?
I thought I was done asking you. I've got a 6,500 guy. So I'm watching Golf Today or Golf Now or whichever one is Damon and Shane. And Shane Bracken brings up Sahith Theegala. And I'm like, you know what? What the heck? He was bringing him up as like a long shot at 250 to 1 or whatever he was last week. I threw him in a lineup in the 6Ks. He was very good, T33. He was 48th at the Sony Open. So now we've got two. I've made the same kind of case for guys like Vincent Whaley, Grayson Sigg. They're $300 more. What about Thigala?
He's been popping up. Very putter reliant, though, is the only thing on Thigala. Ethan Bogey avoidance, so that's good here. Yeah, he's kind of average. Everything else at 6,500, I don't hate it. I'm surprised you're not going for 100 cheaper for the guy who was in a final group yesterday, who I think you used, Paul Barjon.
I mean, I was going to go back to him as well. Yeah, sure, why not? At 6,400 and 10th at the American Express.
Yeah, I mean, he was, what, 6,000 at Sony. I was like, okay, I'm not playing him, but he's better than that. 6,100 last week, I didn't play him, so maybe I've missed the boat, but 6,400, I don't hate it. My 6,500 guy, just pure course history, is Pat Perez.
Mm-hmm.
Recent form, not very good. He's missed three straight cuts, 44th at Zozo, 60th at Northern Trust. Where the heck did he get? I would not have thought he made the Northern Trust. 10th at Palmetto, which did play kind of tough. So yeah, make just look, if you're looking for a course history type of play, he has a second, fourth here. Probably not what I'm really wanting to rely on, but kind of hits something, I guess.
Would you do 6,100 Nick Watney, former champ?
I would not.
Okay. He had a second last year at, I forget, Sanderson Farms or something.
And by the way, Barjon did miss the cut at the U.S. Open, so he at least has played here, at least in the U.S. Open, and this should be a little bit of a simpler thing. 73-78, oh, yeah. So he was plus one round one and then plus six in round two, but I mean, it's the U.S. Open. It's not exactly shocking to see that for a young player.
Any other players in 6K? Well, there's actually more. I wrote down more names than I started this segment with, and now I'm thinking maybe I do have a Rom Hideki Finau lineup in me somewhere.
Oh, I don't, but boy, you got somebody else?
No, I'm saying between like the Barjones and the Thigalas and Sig, Whaley, like all of a sudden you can start to get there. Maybe it's not those three, but maybe it's Rom, Finau, and who knows, Burns, I mean, or something like that.
If you're playing a true just bomber narrative, Trey Mullinax is fifth in driving distance.
Okay.
I mean, he's got a 78th and 25th, and actually he's made three or four cuts when he's played here. Again, that's just if you're playing. Anyway, he was 59th last week, not much before then, fourth at Sanderson Farms. I mean, he's got a lot of missed cuts, but if you want to play a lineup of just pure bombers, Mullinax fits that mold.
Can't I've got no one else in 6K.
I don't either.
All right, you got a fade for me?
Oh, Bill Haas. I mean, if he can't do it at the American Express where he's had a great history, I don't think he's going to do it here at Torrey.
That's fair. I can tell you that my real fade is, I don't know. I'm gonna fade Adam Long because he didn't make the cut last week. Although to be fair, he was minus five and minus three. Maybe Adam Long's not a good fade. Maybe he's actually a really good candidate to make the cut and be a good value at 6,800 because he's missing right near the number 2 weeks in a row.
I actually thought you were going to do it to your guy. I thought you were gonna say that Herman Ayer was your fade.
No, that's just not happening. I'll tell you a guy who I do like to play who I won't play is Emiliano Grillo. I won't play him this week.
Boy. Yeah.
So there's a real fade for me.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he can go top 20 this. He could also miss a cut by seven, so.
He's seemingly done both.
Yes, and when he misses a cut by seven is because, well, he's probably lost eight strokes putting.
Yeah, and that's also been the ladder for Grillo is not making cuts. So he will be my legit fade. I actually bet you I end up with an Adam Long lineup. The more I was a little salty about the missed cut, but then I think about it, I'm like, dude, that's a nice recipe of a decent run of like top 30s before those last two tournaments, and he was missing with, you know, minus two and minus five. So now I guess I got Adam Long to put into that that Rom DJ Finau lineup if I make it, if it actually fits. I don't know that the math fits, but
right.
Are we ready to talk one and done, Skeeter?
Oh, yeah, sure. That's gone so well for me so far again this year.
I imagine that you are ahead of me in the standings.
I'm assuming you're 0-2 and made cuts.
No, I had who did I have? Patrick Reed, no, Sungjae Im, and then Patrick Reed. So I am currently sitting in 3,884th place with $17,632, courtesy of one Patrick Reed.
Well, I played Reed last week, so I'm ahead of you. I'm in 3,059th place with a whopping $53,000.
All right, well, let's move on up a little bit here, Skeeter. Do you do John Rahm this week or not?
I think you can. I don't think there's anything against it. I don't think that's where I'm going, but he's in consideration.
I will tell you this. If I don't go Rahm, I probably go down. I can't go Sung JM. I probably go down to Tony Finau. I think I'm like kind of in between Rahm and Finau right now.
No, that's fair.
Just, you know, JT, we haven't seen in a couple weeks. Hideki, I could use. I'm just going to use JT another time. I honestly don't know when I'm using him, but I'm going to use him another time. Hideki, I could use. I could see myself, like, if Hideki really is on a heater right now, maybe the time to use Hideki is in a couple weeks at Waste Management.
I do that every year.
But the way he's playing right now, like, don't you just feel like you can lock him in for a top 10 a couple weeks from now there?
Oh, possibly, yeah. No. I might look to go different. I'm kind of liking Sungjae. DJ would be a real intriguing one and done here because I don't know how many people are going to be on him.
I bet you nobody, right? He didn't play in Tournament of Champions. We haven't seen him in forever. Basically since the Ryder Cup, just after.
There's so many options here. I think I kind of want to use a top-tier player.
But I think that is the answer still. Like, even where we're sitting, where we haven't had great success early, it is still...
All right, sorry, technical difficulties. I accidentally hit the mute button and didn't realize it, so that's always great when that happens. I'm sure it'd be quality podcast. Yeah, I don't know what I want to do.
I mean, I think as we were getting into it, I think the idea for me is, even though, look, we're 2 weeks in, neither one of us has had a big lick yet, it's still an absolute marathon that we've got coming up, and I think it is still a big dog. I don't think there's any reason you get cute and go, you know, like, I'm certainly not going Ryan Palmer as much as I'm going to use him in DFS. You know, I'm not going, I don't think I would go Max Homa. Like, I think Finau's about as low down the board, Leishman will say, as low down the board as I would go here.
Yeah, this again, just kind of based on the past winners, I kind of like that second tier of golfer to kind of go there. I really think I'm going to go Sungjae. He's already been used. I think he was very popular at Sony. He might have been popular last week, so I don't know if people are ready to go back to him.
He was 10% in Sony. That's when I used him.
Okay, so 12%. Yeah, burn people, and must have been 12% last week.
Well, I can only hope that this weekend is exciting. I mean, Skeeter, I hope it's a carbon copy. I hope my boys win and we break even over here in the Thrive and the DraftKings world. Oh, by the way, on Thursday, I feel like on Thrive, I was two half strokes on props from winning like $300 instead. I didn't even cash. I feel like, even though you were right there, I mean, I was like, man, I feel like I was really close too, because I had a few lineups with, you know, the right couple of pieces and not all of them. So I hope we get the same thing. I'd be happy to break even, you know, hit a couple 25s on Thrive over there, and the Bengals win, and Skeeter, you can win all the money you want again this weekend.
I will be more than glad to do that.
I would take a carbon copy. It's not often in life I'd say I would do that weekend completely over again. This is one I think we would both sign up for, bro.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'll take some big winnings again, and you get your Bengals a Super Bowl. That would be great.
Skeeter, you got anything else for the farmers?
I do not.
Well, my man, once again, congratulations. You are on the Skeeter heater, and boy, do I hope it continues.
Well, yeah, I hope it continues too, but again, I just kind of have a feeling realistically that it's going to come back down.
Did you think when you won that thing and that contest in Thrive 6 weeks ago that you'd win almost as much again in 6 weeks?
No, I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to lose. I'm going to just get my butt kicked for the next 2-3 months.
And free roll, right?
Right.
Now you're free rolling for a lot longer. But instead, Skeeter, I'm going to tell you what I told you at the beginning. It's not why not us, dog. It is us.
That's right.
It is us.
I like the thinking.
I like it, too. I'm getting a little excited. If I belong to a gym, I'd go work out. Instead, I guess I'm just going to go eat ice cream.
Hey. Oh, yeah, you got Graters.
That's Graters. Yes, we do. I actually had some Graters. I don't want to get too into it, but Fiona, our beloved hippo at the Cincinnati Zoo, was born prematurely. Today is her fifth birthday. I had some Fiona Grater's ice cream last night to celebrate.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was fantastic, quite honestly. So I'll leave you on that, brother.
All right.
Well, good luck to you again this week, dude. And legitimately, congratulations to a good dude. And I hope you keep rolling. I'm going to try to ride your coattails this weekend, man. So good luck again. And good luck to everybody. Thank you for listening. And for Skeeter Robinson, I'm James Adams. This has been the Fantastics My Fantasy Fix DFS Golf Podcast.